Today we welcome to our worship service Mrs. Frances J. Van Alstyne, better known to you and to me as Fanny Crosby. Fanny was the preeminent hymn writer in the 19th century, and she will tell you a little bit about herself in just a moment. As a way of introducing this special presentation, I want to draw your attention to the different titles of each section. They're listed in your bulletin, and you can read along. Our Wesleyan theology understands that God is all about grace, prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. If you have never heard of these, then it's high time you learn. Prevenient grace, which is kind of an odd word, you won't find it in the dictionary, but it's still a word that has been used by Wesley and those who have followed him. Prevenient grace describes God's outpouring of love and God's invitation to each of us and to all people to come and join the kingdom of God and to be a part of God's life and of God's plan. It is God's grace that goes before us, paving the way, if you will, for our salvation. Justifying grace describes the work of God in Jesus Christ and in his life, death, and resurrection, how we are forgiven by Christ's sacrifice and given new life through his resurrection. Not only the promise of heaven, but the promise of God's presence in very real ways in our life that follows our conversion. Immediately following our conversion, sanctifying grace becomes the way in which God works in us to reform our old habits and to form in us the new habits of the Christ-like life, till such time as we are perfected in love. Each hymn that we sing this day, including our opening hymn and the hymn that we used during our prayer concerns, are written by Fanny Crosby, and they are in our hymnal, and they're each placed appropriately to help us describe the response that we might have to God as God invites, as God saves, and as God makes holy, as God's prevenient grace, God's justifying grace, and God's sanctifying grace is working in our lives. With that said, I present to you Fanny Crosby.
Thank you, Pastor Johnny. Greetings to my friends in Christ in the 21st century. God bless your dear hearts. I'm so happy to see you. May God's grace and blessing find you and keep you forevermore. Let me tell you a little about myself. I was born March 24, 1820, in Putnam County, New York. When I was but 6 weeks old, I was ill with a cold in my eyes. Our regular family doctor was away, but the fill-in physician treated my eyes with a mustard poultice. This treatment effectively blinded me for life. My family could have sued, for there was good reason, but they refrained. This decision is one that I hardly agree with. This sad moment is not a sign of disfavor, but an opportunity for God to do wondrous things. Indeed, having no real sight memories, imagine how I felt when I died and went to glory and sing for the first time. And what would my eyes behold but our precious Lord and Savior? How great and wonderful was that moment. The first hymn we sang today was written with just that thought in mind. I wrote it before 1875, and no one in America sang it or bothered with it. In Europe, though, it became quite the favorite hymn. When Billy Graham and George Shea went to London in 1954, they so loved the hymn that they started using it in their crusades. That is why you know it today. The hymn was dead to us until it was resurrected for our use. My parents sent me to school at the New York Institute for the Blind, where I excelled as a student, and once I finished my course there, became a teacher. It was during this time I began writing poetry, for that is what I really am, a poet. I published several books of poetry, my first in 1844. I did not write my first hymn until 1864. In 1851, I joined the Methodist Episcopal Church. I was married to Professor Alexander Van Alstine, a fine man and fine musician who was also blind. I have never written any of the music that my poems are set to. Indeed, sometimes the music inspired the poem. Blessed Assurance, which you sang earlier, was one of these. My close friend, Ms. Joseph Knapp, was the wife of the president of Metropolitan Life Insurance Company and an amateur musician. One day, she played a melody for me and asked, "What does this tune say?" I responded immediately, "Why, that says, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." I then wrote the poem as we sat there. Many of my poems were the result of suggestions of others or of those I met in daily life. My dear friend, William Howard Doane, who composed many tunes for my words, illustrates both points very well. One day, we were speaking to a group of prisoners, and we were inviting them to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. I was interrupted by a prisoner who suddenly exclaimed, "Good Lord, don't pass me by." Mr. Doane later suggested that I write a poem based on these words and the story in Luke's Gospel of the Blind Beggar. He later wrote the music, "Please turn in your hymnal to page 351 and sing with me verses 1 and 3 of Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." Again, page 351, verses 1 and 3. Thank you, Miss Jane. You, in this modern time, might say that I was born a Christian, that I led a Christian life and was a good person. While all of this may be true, I don't think it matters. A person who is sensible and responsible needs to accept Christ for themselves and not depend on what others have done or say about them. And they certainly cannot rely on their works to save them. My soul was, in my mind, in peril until I converted when I was 31 years old. It is the cross of Christ that saves us, and it is the cross of Christ that we must daily return to keep the fires of love, humility, and commitment strong. There is no real story to accompany this hymn. It is just a reminder of things past and present. The power of the cross is so strong that it anchors the listener, guides the blind, and motivates the bereaved to keep on keeping on. Let us sing the whole hymn, since it gives us words for each place we might be, whether we're looking back, verse 2, in the present, verse 3, or looking forward in hope, as in verse 4. You must remember that I was a poet, so often my works can stand alone as a poem and as a prayer. I feel that all of my poems might be provided for you, might provide for you the words and thoughts to help you respond to God's love and grace. If you have trouble talking with God, sharing your heart and soul and mind, then first turn to Scripture, for Scripture is God's word. God understands the language. But then turn to your poems and music. What a great honor it is to have provided the words to help so many express their love and commitment to God. I'd like to ask Pastor Tony if he would use one of my poems, Close to Thee, as a prayer right now.
Let us pray. Thou, my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk close to Thee. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my heart shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, Gladly will I toil and suffer. Only let me walk with thee. Lead me through the veil of shadows. Bear me over life's fitful sea. Then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee. Close to thee. Close to thee. Close to thee. Close to thee. Then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Tony. God's grace and love is never given in order to be hidden and kept quiet. God's grace will push outward always, seeking to express itself in and through us. The poor were as much a part of our day as they are of yours. When I was 60 years old, I visited Chicago's Bowery Mission. I was asked to speak at the close of the service, and I did. I said, "There may be a man here who has gone as far as a man can go. If he's present, I want to shake hands with him." A man did come forward and finally accepted Christ as Savior. Some say I brought many lost souls back into the joy of the kingdom of God. I know I tried to serve God by reaching out and offering Christ, and there certainly were those who accepted him. I often went to the rescue missions in New York and Chicago. Indeed, when a friend said to me, "Isn't it wonderful what these rescue missions are doing?" I could hardly wait to get home to my desk and begin writing. This next hymn is the result of that comment. Let us sing verses 3 and 4 of hymn 591.
Touched by a loving heart, awakened by kindness, chords that were broken vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Thank you so much for bearing with me today. I hope you enjoyed these stories and poems. I hope you use them. More than anything, I pray that you are a rescued sinner and your soul's at rest with God. If you are not, I invite you to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. In my time, we would have an altar call, but I understand that is not always the best way. Whatever the case may be, if you are struggling with God and not at peace with him, speak up. Talk to Pastor Tony or another trusted Christian friend. They will help. The final hymn we sing today, I composed off the top of my head one night while sitting with my family and some friends. The moment was so precious and holy. May they also affirm for you whose you are. Thank you.